Get to a great start, in this year of the prolific church, as you contemplate these seven important points.
I want to discuss seven points that you're going to be considering in this year of the prolific church.
Listen and be blessed.
I want to discuss these next seven points. That you're going to be considering in this year of the prolific church. The first is our fellowship. You know, one of the beautiful things about today's meeting, I have to tell you so you can understand how these things work, is not really so much as talking about your work, talking about any specific topic. One of the most beautiful things and most impactful things in the meeting is just us sharing some time together, irrespective of the subject of discussion. There's a lot that we gain just by meeting. Just by meeting like this. That period, that time of fellowship can answer a lot of questions without you having to ask them, can lay concerns, agitations, irritations, can lay all that to rest. Just having a fellowship, being able to share those moments and just relate with one another in this room. So you look at the impact of such meetings. Did you know that's how it works between you and God? When we talk about fellowship with the Lord, it's not so much as a list of things that you want to tell God. What doesn't He know already? Your mind just ruminating and, you know, meditating on His word, thinking through what He said, and letting your thoughts go up to God, responding to those things, just expressing joy for what's in the word as it comes to your spirit. And all that time is just between you and God. He brings thoughts to your mind or speaks directly to your spirit or even guides you through the scriptures and shows you some things in the word and you respond in faith. All that period of fellowship. So far you haven't asked for any specific thing. You haven't expressed any concern about anything. And yet, all that moment is just so beautiful with the Lord. Oh, you should enjoy those moments. That's very, very beautiful. In fact, some of the things that God teaches you at such moments, you can have a study for a whole year and never find them. And yet, some of the most beautiful things in your life will result from such moments. In mentoring people, it's not so much what we discuss with them in official meetings. It is the unofficial discussions. There's where so much is passed and so much is gained. We learn a lot by observation. We learn a lot by some kind of impartation that comes through association. That's what makes meetings like this beautiful. They change you in a subtle way. They change you. They increase your capacity, your wisdom, even your thinking process. It's altered. So that's why such fellowship is important. Can we read from 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1? You're going to have it on the screen? 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1. Okay, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which, so he picks up again after the parenthetical verse 2, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. It says, we want you to have fellowship with us. We've discovered so much. We've been imparted with so much. That which we have seen and heard and handled of the word of life. He says, that we declare unto you. For what purpose? So that you may have fellowship with us. We want to share that with you. We want to share that with you. He's saying, we want you to be a part of what we've got. We want you to experience what we've experienced. We want to pass this message over to you. So he says, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Then he says, you know, we're calling you into this fellowship, not just because of us. He says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So it's a fellowship that we have come to know. and it's with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So if we're inviting you into this fellowship, it's not just about us. It's truly a fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So if you come to fellowship with us, you're going to know the Father and His Son even more. So when people come into our world and they fellowship with us, do they get to know the Father and the Son more? That's got to happen. Otherwise, you're not like the apostles. You're supposed to be like them. If you come into my world, you will come into the Father's world. You will come into Jesus' world. I know someone will say Jesus is, right? Jesus is world. But you try to eliminate the double S in some things. So that's the world you come into. So if I get to be associated with you, one thing is certain, you're going to know God more. Why? Because I truly have fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Can somebody who comes close to you be guaranteed that he's going to know the Father more? He's going to know the Lord more. Is that what's going to happen? Or that, are they going to become more carnal because they came close to you? You know some people, you come close to them, you become more worldly. If you become their friend, you're less spiritual. Your life starts going down because they have a bad influence. Just terrible things come out of their mouths. In fact, just being around them destroys you. They influence you negatively. You're with them a short while and you don't know yourself anymore. You don't know what you believe anymore. You don't know what you think anymore. You've lost yourself because of your association with so and so and so and so. They destroy you. Bible says, evil companionship corrupts good behavior. They destroy your life. You start behaving badly. Your thoughts have changed because you've got this friend, or whoever it is, a boss. Even sometimes it can be a junior. You have some seniors who keep fellowshipping with some wrong juniors who give them wrong information that destroy them. They just cripple you. Your progress is stalled because you got linked to so-and-so. And yet there are people you come close to and your world changes. Your world changes. No, that's it with me. I become your friend. Your world changes. You become number one in your family. You become number one everywhere. No, that's just how it works. Because our fellowship is with the Father. You've taken the scripture away, keep it there. Our fellowship is with the Father. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. So number one is our fellowship. our fellowship? Are we prizing our fellowship? We've got to prize our fellowship. The meetings we can have, we realize that those meetings will change our lives. You know, your life is built, make no mistakes about it, your life is built by words. You will never be different from the quality of words that you receive, that you hear. The meetings you attend affect your life. You know, years ago, when I was pastoring, I would say to the I still pastor. I mean, when I was pastoring the local assembly, I would say to them, just keep coming here. If you listen to me for long enough, it will change your life. You will be built up. If you listen to me for long enough, just keep coming. And they kept coming. And they kept bringing others. Because they knew if they listened for long enough, it'll build them up. Make your life that way. This year. Become what? Prolific. You know, sometimes when I pray and I say, Lord, only the words of wisdom come out of my mouth. It's only such words that can come out of my mouth. My mouth cannot speak foolishness. I can't say foolish things. I can't. I don't have them in me. So foolish words can't come out of me. I don't have them in me. I only have words of wisdom. They're the only words I got. Because I've got a reservoir of godly wisdom. So I can't say something that's from a foolish thought. No, it's impossible. I have no vent for foolishness. Are you in this place? See, I have come to understand that when I received the Holy Spirit, God came to live in me. He came to live in me. It's a fellowship. Do you know what it is like when people are coming to church and they know they're going to be hearing God talk to them, and they know that when they're going back home, they're improved. They're improved. They're encouraged. In fact, some would say to themselves, if I come here for 3 months, my life is going to be so beautiful. I just know. They can already project something about their life. Next 3 months, I know I'm going to make progress in my life. So they're excited about life. They're excited about the future. They just know there's progress. My life is moving forward. You can tell. Something's happening within you. I'm better than I used to be, and I'm more hopeful. His financial situation may have not even changed. He's not getting more money, but he's happier than the guy that has three or four times his own income. He's happier. He's more fulfilled. He's more hopeful. As a young guy, I was always very hopeful about the future. I saw no reason to struggle. I saw no reason for agitation. I was very, very hopeful. Very hopeful. I didn't need to struggle at all. In fact, I used to say to my classmates, I'm 10 years ahead of you. I didn't know whether they liked it or not, but I said it. Of course, years later, I saw that I was wrong. It was not 10 years. It was much more than 10 years. Yeah, but I mean, I wasn't being insultive to anybody. Anyone could have said the same thing if they wanted, right? Use your mouth. You have your own mouth. If you didn't like I was just a classmate. If you didn't like what Chris said, you would have said your own. I used my mouth. But you know, as a young kid, 10 years was a lot. I should have added more. But I was very hopeful about the future. Very hopeful. No agitation, no struggle. I didn't think money was a big thing. Why? Because I could see my Bible. I could see so much in the scriptures. I was blessed of God. Abraham's seed doesn't struggle. I have an inheritance. And when I said to them, I'm 10 years ahead of you, I wasn't thinking about, okay, my dad got this. Oh, no, 1,000 times I was thinking about that. I was thinking of the Abrahamic inheritance. And I've been preaching about the Abrahamic inheritance since my teenage years. I knew I was the seed of Abraham. And Abraham's seed doesn't struggle. Abraham's seed is an heir. He has an inheritance. He doesn't need to work. He works to bless. He doesn't work so that he can get money. Abraham's seed doesn't do that. So that's what my family members and extended family members couldn't understand. My parents couldn't understand it. How can he not be thinking about money? He needs to have money. But in that thinking, you need to get the money from your labor. And I said, but I'm already working. What work? I'm preaching. And listen, those were not days that, how do I put it? I didn't even know how to take an offering. So my mind was not on the offering. I didn't know how to take an offering. I'll hold meetings without calling for an offering. That's why up till today, I have to be reminded. Pastor, we have not taken the offering. They still remind me till today. Because that's the way I grew up. My mind was not on the offering. I call for offering for the people to be blessed. But if I had a mind on the offering, every program I will calculate about the... You get it? But I wasn't raised that way. Even 31st, I was about to round off. Pastor Ambrose had to come and meet me with the paper. That we haven't given our offerings yet. No, if I was that kind of person, with that crowd, I've already been calculating. Yeah. But I don't have that. Didn't grow up with that. My thinking has never been that I get money by offering. No, I'm the seed of Abraham. I was wealthy before I came here. I remember I was invited to a church. This is years ago. Years ago. In fact, that pastor was the pastor that officiated my wedding. That's to tell you how young I was. Do you understand? Okay. So I went to his church. And this occasion was about inviting him to the wedding. So I came, and while we're at the church, he needed money to go to a certain missionary trip that he announced to his people. And they're trying to raise money for it. I was the young guy. Our church was not as large as his own. Do you get it? And he's trying to raise money for this trip. And I'm watching, and it's getting a bit slow. They're not coming up with the money. Then I raise my hand. I'm the guest. I said, I'll give the money. That's the money he's trying to get from the whole church. And he's looking at them, and they're all looking at him. He's still trying to raise it. So I raise my hand and I say, I'll give the money. So he announced the amount in case I didn't hear it. I said, I will give the money. And I did. As soon as I got back, I organized the fund and I sent it to him. See, so it's about your life. What life do you want to live? If you are working with me as the seed of Abraham, you have a different mentality. You don't get frustrated that, oh, the monthly has not come and you're angry. Don't be angry. Don't be that kind. No, don't be that kind. That's not an excuse for those who handle such things not to pay. Do you get what I mean? No, that's not an excuse for them not to pay. They should pay. But I'm warning you to act and think differently. Because you need more. You need more than your monthly pay. You need more. But you know what happens to a lot of people? They think like the world. They start thinking, what other business will I do that will bring me more money? They calculate like the world. And I'm thinking, what business do you want to do? Do you know how many other people are doing that business you are thinking about? Does everyone who does that business get the money? You're not going to get it just because you're doing the business. There are people doing it. They are not all getting the money. What's going to make the difference between you and them? Why do you think that if you do that business, you will make the money? Some are doing it already. They are not making it. You say, I'm different. Then show the difference now. The difference doesn't need to take you into that business. If you can't be different now where you are and show your gift and ability now where you are, it's not going to work in the place you think you are going. That's what drives some people. They just think. As they're doing whatever they're doing, they are saying to themselves, I think I need to run my business. They're just thinking. No. This year, 2023, I'm starting my business. I say, quickly go. No, the directors will tell you, I've instructed them before. And I've said it to them several times. If someone wants to leave, please don't hold him or her. Let the person go. Let the person go. Why? Because we only need those who see the vision together with us. You don't need a weak link. You know, someone that has an alternative shouldn't be with us in the army. He's a dangerous partner. You want the one that has burnt his bridges. Not the one that has an alternative. As long as he has an alternative, I'll just go. I didn't know you could go. Go now. I didn't know you could go. Go to where? The Bible tells us. Let me read it to you. St. John's Gospel. Chapter 6. From verse 66, because Jesus said some things some of his disciples didn't like. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Did you see that? Jesus. You read previous verses, you'll see he said, made certain statements. They didn't like what he said. They said, what? Did he really say that? I'm fed up. This is the height of it. And they went away. So he says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then look at the next verse. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Next verse. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter answered for everybody. So we know not everybody answered. Because there was one guy who was there for another reason. He was still looking for what tricks Jesus was using. How can this man be so successful? There must be something he's doing. Judas was still studying the master. So we know his story. He was there then. So some went away. Some went away. But Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the message of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. That's what we came for. He knew his purpose. Hallelujah. So our fellowship is important. Tell somebody our fellowship is important. Yeah. Number two, our vision and purpose. Our vision and purpose. You know, the clarity of our vision is important. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Our vision has not changed. And when you have understood the vision and you're part of the vision, you walk in it. You project it. It's in everything that you do. It's in everything that you do. All our programs, small or large, are all towards realization of our vision. They're all directed towards that. Achieving our vision. Jesus came to this world to establish the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has a way of life. It's a kingdom run by God through Jesus Christ. He told us what's in it. It's all the righteousness of God in manifestation. It's the righteousness of God at work. You see the righteousness of God manifested in love, in faith, in hope. Everything is about the righteousness of God in this heavenly kingdom that Jesus came to set up. Okay, now you have said again and again the vision of our ministry in few words. Let me hear you say it.
Good morning, Pastor, sir.
Good morning, dear.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, sir. I love you, sir.
I love you too.
Pastor, our vision is taking the divine presence of God to the peoples and nations of the world, demonstrating the character of the Spirit.
Okay, how many of you think it was right? Okay. But here is the reason I asked you to state that. You said taking the presence of God. What does that mean? What is in the presence of God? What's in the presence of God? Is it a feeling? So if we brought the presence of God to a people, to a community, what would it be? Would it be like, oh, there's a presence in this place. I just feel something. I think it's God. Is that it? Is that what we're going to introduce them to? So ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the presence of God today. You're going to feel something. You're going to feel it. And then they say, yeah, we can feel it. Yeah, sure, Pastor Chris, we can feel it. What does the presence of God feel like? It's shaky, shaky. So what would be in the presence? What would be in the presence? My brothers and sisters, it is the righteousness of God. You see it? You see, the love of God, when we talk about the love of God actually is the demonstration of the righteousness of God. You see it? The love of God is the righteousness of God at work. You've heard me say again and again that the biggest subject of all the Word of God is the righteousness of God. It's the subject of righteousness. This is why it's so important. Because we say, God is love. But love that does nothing is not love. Love is the righteousness of God at work. You see it? It's the righteousness of God at work. So where we have the righteousness of God in manifestation, the love of God is experienced. So when you see a brother or a sister who's not walking in love, it's because they don't understand the righteousness of God. They don't understand it. So they're not living in it. So their problem begins with their very relationship with God, not even with the person, not the people they have trouble with. Their real problem is their knowledge of God. They don't know Him. The more you know the Lord, the more you understand His righteousness. And the more that righteousness is reflected back to you, and you find that you are also walking in this righteousness. Because remember what He did. In Christ Jesus, He made you the righteousness of God. You are the expression of His righteousness. If that's true, how can you not walk in love? How can you not walk in love? So when we're teaching people about walking in love, it's the babes. You haven't matured in Christ until you're really walking in love. And you will not walk in love until you understand and live in the righteousness of God. Oh, study the righteousness of God in the scriptures. It was one of my biggest subjects of study. It was one of the biggest things that I ever studied and loved to study. That's why I could give you so many shades of definitions on the righteousness of God. It's a subject that I loved. I saw that it was the biggest thing in all the Word of God. The righteousness of God. What is it like? What is it? What is it? That's really the nature of God. It's all about His righteousness. Why is God right? How could He be just right, always right, ever right? How could that be? Is it because might is right? Not exactly. Not exactly. Because might is right can be an abuse of power. But you come to understand God is good. He's good. You think about an expression in the Old Testament. You know you don't really find the use of the term grace. All right? Not about there was no shouting grace, grace upon it, like, you know, the prophet said. But dealing with the grace of God, you really don't find that in the Old Testament. What you find about his character is his loving kindness. It's called loving kindness. That's what in the New Testament is put together as grace. Loving kindness. Coming from his tender mercies. Loving kindness. So if the word grace is too big, break it down and say loving kindness. You see, you can do something that's kind without the intention of being kind. It was an act of kindness, but you weren't intending to be kind. It only turned out to be an act of kindness. But when it becomes loving kindness, it's intentional. It's intentional. And it's directed. You're still there? So that vision, how it aligns with the vision of Jesus. He came to set up the kingdom of God in the earth. What's that? They said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's God's presence. God with us. Jesus was the righteousness of God unveiled in flesh. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. The love of God at work. That was Jesus. So God was here. So in our ministry, we say the vision is taking the divine presence to the nations of the world, to the peoples of the world, the divine presence. How can that presence be without the righteousness of God? It is the righteousness of God in manifestation. That's what it's all about. So that's why I preach and teach the righteousness of God. Because only through his righteousness can they experience his person. You can't know him with your senses until you understand his righteousness. His righteousness is revealed to you in his acts of love. You get it? So, that vision continues. We want the whole world to know who Jesus is. We want the whole world to know. We want the whole world to know. We want the whole world to experience the righteousness of God. But each one of us must understand that we have been made that righteousness, which means in our world, it ought to be in manifestation. It should be in the office. It should be in the home. It should be everywhere. Through us, where I go, God goes. Where I'm at, his righteousness is. So that's why I told you, I said, when you enter into a matter It's not about taking sides. It's about what? The righteousness of God. Because that's what we are. That's what we represent. I speak the righteousness of God. I'm for God. I speak for God. Right? Yeah. Tell three people, I speak for God. Do you speak for God? I speak for God. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been blessed by this message. For more uplifting messages by Pastor Chris, download the Pastor Chris Digital Library app.